And yes, we should be friends of sinners. And we do everything we can to display the love of God to this world. But listen, family, we've got to boldly proclaim the message that Jesus died for sinners, that He was buried and rose again. And He's calling you to repent and follow Him and trust in Him. That is the message of the gospel. And I want you to listen how Jesus preached the gospel when He called people to come to Him, and compare it with what we do today. Because thousands of people would come to hear Jesus, massive crowds. Just imagine if thousands of people showed up in most churches today. What would we do as Christians in our culture? We do everything we can to keep them. Now, I'm not indicting any one church, but I'm saying we often soften the message for the sake of numbers. Look how Jesus preached the gospel. He's got thousands of people in front of Him. He's got these massive crowds in front of Him. The movement looks like He's finally making some headway. It is finally, a comforting moment for us. We've finally got some followers now, Jesus. A lot of people are hanging out with Jesus. And Jesus does something that is astonishing. In Luke chapter 14, verse 25, it says, as massive crowds followed Jesus, He turned to them. And what did He say? When you follow Me as My disciple, you must put aside your father, your mother, your wife, your sisters, your brothers. Yes, you may even seem as though you hate your own life. This is the price you'll pay to be considered one of My followers. Jesus spoke about a price. In the New Living Bible, it says, if you want to be My disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father, your mother, your children, your brothers, your sisters, even your own life. The Living Bible says, anyone who wants to be My follower, he must love Me far more than he does his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, his spouse, yea, more than even his own life. Otherwise, he cannot be My disciple. In other words, when it comes to following Jesus, He's above me. He's above everybody else. He's number one in my life. There's no one else who even compares. Jesus is number one in my life. By comparison, I hate everything else by comparison with how much I love Him. In verse 27, and anyone who comes to Me must be willing to share My cross and experience it as his own, or he cannot be considered My disciple. So don't follow Me without considering what it'll cost you. For who would construct a house before sitting down to estimate the cost to complete it? Otherwise, he may lay the foundation and not be able to finish it. The neighbors will ridicule him. They'll say, look at him. He started a build, but he couldn't complete it. Have you ever heard of a commander who goes out to war without first sitting down to strategically plan and determine the strength of his army to win the war against a stronger opponent? If he knows he doesn't stand a chance of winning the war, the wise commander will send out delegates to ask for terms of peace. Likewise, unless you surrender all to Me, giving up all you possess, you cannot be one of My disciples. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. I'm simply preaching the gospel that Jesus preached. Unless you're willing to give up everything and follow Me, you cannot be My disciple. Where's that message today? Do we even sound like Jesus today? I was in a Starbucks one time. I was sitting down. This guy comes in. He was kind of a hippie dude. I thought, I like him. I could probably hang out with him, He floated in. He was like, hey. I don't know if he was high on something or high on Jesus. I don't know what it was, but he was definitely high on something. He was floating in. He walks by this guy, and he says to this guy, dude, man. Like, Jesus loves you, man, dude. Like, He just loves you, man. God wants to put His arms around you and just love on you, man. That's the gospel, man. Can I tell you, Jesus does love you. And when Jesus proclaimed the gospel, He was love incarnate. Did He proclaim it in such a way where He would never confront anybody? Did He never confront anyone where they were at? And tell them, you're over here, but you need to be over there. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus actually does some damage when you think about it. I mean, Jesus would fail every seminary course on evangelism. He's got all these thousands of followers. We'd be like, man, collect them, Let's give them some candy. We've got to do what we need to do to keep them here. Give away free bicycles or something. But Jesus turns to these thousands of followers. And look what he says to them. If you don't hate your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your spouse, even your own life, you're not worthy of me. If you don't come to die, don't come. Come and rise again or don't come. Jesus is the master of church shrinkage. Because a lot of people leave. Jesus is left with 12 disciples. A lot of them leave. John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples turned their back on him. And they refused to be associated with him. And what did Jesus do? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Let me apologize. Let me change my what I was saying. Let me change my message. He didn't do that. Jesus said to the 12, and you, do you want to leave too? Peter spoke up. He said, Lord, where are we going to go? No one but you gives us the revelation of eternal life. We're fully convinced you, the anointed one, the son of the living God. We believe in you. See, they understood what the crowd didn't understand. This was eternal life we're talking about. Peace with God, eternal life. The disciples knew that. The crowd didn't understand it. That's why they left. Because if you understood eternity and what stands before you and the life just beyond, you'd never turn away from Jesus. I don't care what the world wants to offer you. I'll never go back to that. I'm thinking about eternity, not these few years on this earth. Your life on this earth is over like that. Just ask me. I'm 57 years old. It feels like yesterday I was 17. It just goes like that. But eternity is forever and ever. That's what I'm focused on. When we proclaim the gospel, do we proclaim it the way Jesus did, the way Paul did, the way the apostles did, where they told people this is about dying and rising again to a new life? This is about you being united to the Messiah, God, and as a man who died for sinners, was buried and rose again. He ascended and he's seated, putting all his enemies under his feet. Repent, believe the gospel. That's what they preached. The good news of his kingdom is be reconciled to God. Come lay down your life. Come and die. Give your life and receive his life, eternal life, abundant life. That was the consistent message of Jesus and the apostles. If you read Romans chapter 6, after Paul declares in Romans chapter 3 that we're all sinners and we're made right with God through faith and that no one's justified by the deeds of the law, he then moves on. He talks about God's grace and God crediting us righteousness by faith. It's not our own, but it's by our faith in Jesus. And then in Romans 4, Paul talks about God removing our sins, never counting them against us again. And then Romans 6, verse 1, Paul says, well then, should we keep on sinning so God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? He said, of course not. Since we've died to sin, how shall we continue to live in it? Have you not forgotten when we were joined to Christ Jesus in baptism, we were joined in his death, for we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we too may live new lives. Since we've been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was raised to life. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin may lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we're going to live with Christ. That's the gospel. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But it's no longer I who live. I died. It's now Christ who lives in me. I'm a new creation. The old things have passed away. Everything's become new. I'm now the righteousness of God. I've been raised. I'm seated with Christ. I'm going to reign with him for all eternity. That's the gospel. Jesus talked about coming to die. Paul talked about a death occurring in your life, in my life, when we came to Christ. If we don't get back to that message of the gospel, we lose. We wonder why the culture is decaying around us. Jesus said, you're the salt, you're the light. Salt is a preservative, it preserves. In our culture today, In the last 40 years in the United States, 55 million babies have been aborted, murdered. 3,000 babies are aborted every day in the United States. 3,000 babies are murdered. Where's our salt? Where's our light? If we're not the salt and light to the world, then there isn't going to be any salt and light to the world. It's our responsibility. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others. Don't hide the light that is within you. Jesus, he's the light of the world. The problem is today with so many of us Christians, we're afraid to die. We don't want to die. We want to live for our own pleasure. We need people who are ready to live lives with a missionary sacrifice, to die for the sake of the gospel and the world and love for others. You've got to be willing to be hated by the very people you love and you try to reach. You've got to be willing for those people to mock you, persecute you, and hate you. Jesus said in John 15, just remember, when the unbelieving world hates you, they first hated me. Don't take it personally. Remember what I taught you, that a servant is not superior to its master, and since they persecuted me, they will persecute you too. They will treat you this way because you're mine. And they don't know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken these things to the unbelieving world, they would not feel the guilt of their sin, but now their sin is left uncovered. Do you know why a lot of people hate you? Because you make them feel guilty. Not because you say anything against them, just the light of Jesus shining out of you convicts them. And that's why they don't like you. Let me tell you right now, it's okay. You can persecute. In America, you better not persecute Muslims, Islam. They'll come against you, man. You better not persecute Buddha, people who follow Buddha. But you can persecute Christians all day long, and nobody minds. Why? Because the world hated him first, and they're going to hate you too. But that doesn't matter. If we're not living lives of missionary sacrifice, where we're willing to be hated and persecuted, then we've got to ask the question, have we actually died or not? Have I actually been raised with Christ or not? Do I see my life on this earth as most important now? Is my treasure really in heaven, or is it down here on this earth? Is my treasure in heaven? Or is it down here in the cool stuff, in the house and the car and the pretty smooth and easy life? Am I in love with comforts and being well received and well thought of by people? Let me tell you, the gospel message that Paul proclaimed was Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, while I was with you, I was determined to be consumed with one topic. That's Jesus, the crucified Messiah. I stood before you feeling inadequate, filled with reverence before God and trembling under the sense of the importance of my words. Let me tell you, that is the essence of the gospel. We proclaim the truth of the gospel. It's not just about serving others. It's not just about giving a drink of water or social justice or doing good things. It's about repentance and faith and reconciliation with God. And if we don't get back to that message, family, we're going to miss this end time harvest. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, never be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. Tell your neighbor, don't ever be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. Say, I refuse to be ashamed. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and he called us to live a holy life. Never be ashamed to tell other people about Jesus. God has called you to spread this gospel. There are over 7 billion people on the earth right now. And can I tell you, the majority of them are headed for an eternity in hell. I never said that. Jesus said that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus said, heaven can be entered only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide enough for all the multitude who choose its easy way. But the gateway to life is small, and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it. I remember when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, man, we used to sing, me and my friends, we'd be walking down the street. I'm on a highway to hell. I'm on a highway to AC/DC. Then I found out what hell is like. I ain't going there. Let me. You want to go highway to hell? You go right ahead. I used to think we're going to party, my friends, we're going to party in hell, me and the devil. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of terrible torment and torture and fire and darkness. I mean, it is an awful place. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. I ain't on a highway to hell. I'm on the narrow path that leads to eternal life and heaven. Amen. That's much more cool to me. If you want to be cool and go to hell, go right ahead. But I want to be cool and go to heaven. How are people going to find out if we don't tell them? God holding us responsible for not reaching out to people around us. In Ezekiel 3 verse 18, the scripture says, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood I'm going to require at your hand. God's holding us responsible. Someone said, good preaching, Pastor Steve. Keep on going, man. I'm with you, Pastor Steve. Let me tell you, I determined I'm going to preach the truth of the gospel to you. If you don't like the truth of the gospel, you ain't going to like this church. Someone said, but Pastor Steve, that's in the Old Testament. We're under the New Testament. Oh, let me give you a New Testament scripture. Acts chapter 18, verse 5. When Paul and Silas came down from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit, and he testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him, and when they blasphemed, the Passion Bible says they viciously opposed him. He shook his garments, and he said, your blood be on your own heads. I'm clean. From now, I'll go to the Gentiles. I'll go to the people who aren't Jewish. He said, your blood's on your own heads, man. He preached the God. Let me tell you, Paul was not a little Mickey Mouse. He was bold, man. He was strong. He'd go in there. He preached the gospel. He riled the whole city up. They tried to kill him. He said, okay, you don't listen to me. Your blood in your heads, man. I'll go preach the gospel of this. He wasn't some kind of little wimpy, mealy-moused, milk-toast Christian. Let me tell you, it takes a man to stand for Christ in this world that is totally opposed to Jesus. It takes a man and a woman to do that. John 4, verse 35, Jesus said, wake up, look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. If you wonder what he's talking about, the Living Bible says vast fields of human souls are ripening all around us. They're ready for reaping. What that means is people are ready. They're ready to receive Jesus. Sharing the good news and bringing others to Christ, it's the most worthwhile thing you can do with your life. In Acts 20, 24, Paul said, my life is worth nothing. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful kindness and love. And you know, Paul went everywhere. He traveled all over Turkey and Greece and Athens and Ephesus and Rome and, I mean, Malta and Crete and all over the world at that time, preaching the gospel boldly. And I understand that maybe God never called you to travel the world preaching the gospel. But can I tell you right now, he called you to reach out to the people in your world with the gospel. Paul was consumed with this. He said, my life is worth nothing if I don't use it to tell others this great news. In Colossians 1:28, Paul said, everywhere we go, we tell everyone about Christ. Everywhere we go. Can you say that? Everywhere I go, I tell everyone about Christ. I want to be able to say that. Everywhere I go, I tell everyone about Christ. In other words, it's got to be on our minds. I work very hard at this, and I depend on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:5, work at telling others the good news. You see, there's something we've got to work at. It's something we've got to take effort. It's something that's got to be a priority. In Romans 1 verse 9, God, whom I so love to worship and serve by spreading the good news of his son. Do Do you know that spreading the good news of Jesus is serving the Lord? If you're not spreading the good news about Jesus, are you really serving the Lord? Are you serving the Lord? Ephesians 5:16, redeem the time. The days are evil. The Passion Bible says, take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for His purpose. I want to spend my life for His purpose. I want to take advantage of every day. We don't have time to waste. Every day, people are dying. And they're headed into eternity. People going to hell every second. It's go time. It's time for us to reach out to everyone around us. Everyone that we meet. God's calling us to go after lost people. There are multitudes of people who need Jesus. Here's the question. Will you do it? Will you obey the Lord? Will you hear Him say to you one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Can I tell you that there is no joy that can compare to the joy that you receive when you bring someone to Christ, when you tell someone about Jesus, even when you just invite someone to church and then you see them put their hand up to receive the Lord. There's no greater joy for me than that. Because let me tell you, when you bring someone to Christ, oh, their life changes. And you laying up treasures in heaven. Because let me tell you, God is going to reward you for everything you do for Him, for every person you speak to, for every person you reach out to. God is going to reward you. Amen? God has called us. Say, God has called me to go after the lost. In the name of Jesus, I want it to be known that I'm a disciple. Say, I'm a follower of Jesus. And I'm a fisher of men. Say, I'm always on the lookout for opportunities to invite people to church, tell them the good news, tell them what God's done for me. I'm always on the lookout for that opportunity. Say, I'm making every day count. I'm living for His purposes. Amen. Do you receive this today? You receive this today? I want to encourage you. This has been on my heart for such a long time. Sometimes when I get up and I preach on things, God's been dealing with me about it for weeks and even months sometimes. I've got to wait for the right opportunity. I just feel like, folks, when we look at what's happened in the world today, where the enemies come against the church, come against the world, but come against the church too, where churches close down for a year or more. Man, it's time it's payback time. We want to give the devil a black eye. We want to take what he meant for our harm and trust God to turn it for the good. What does that take, man? Let me tell you, we've got to rise up and we're going to go after lost people. Every Sunday, I'm asking you to invite someone to come to church with you. Don't come to church by yourself. I was so glad today when I met Josh before service, and he introduced me to friends of his. He invited to church today. Who else brought a friend to church today? Wave your hand at me. You brought someone. Leslie brought her son today. Leah brought your friend with you, sitting next to you. I think we met before service, didn't we? No, we didn't. Who else brought a friend today? Yes, I met your friend you brought today. Thank you for inviting. I want everybody every week. Let's go for it, man. Let's go for it. Let's go after the lost. Let's redeem the time. Let's not waste any more time. Invite somebody every week. I don't know about you, but my greatest desire is to see people come into Christ every week. Multitudes of people. Every week. Amen. Will you do it? Do you receive it today? Father, I thank you for every person watching this, every person here today. Lord, I thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that your word goes deep into our heart and changes us. Thank you, Lord, for giving each of us a burden, a passion for the lost people, to go after lost people. Lord, thank you that Ascend Church is a soul-winning church. We're not a cruise ship. We are a rescue ship. And I thank you, Father, and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Just while your heads are bowed, while your eyes are closed, before we move on this morning, I always want to pray. I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right and well between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that heaven is where you would spend eternity? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God, because the Bible says even the demons believe in God and they tremble. What I am asking you is, if you were to die today, can you say you know for sure, you know for certain, that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can know that. You can be sure of that. You can walk out of here this morning and you can be sure, know in your heart that all is right, all is well between you and God, that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven and it's washed away. You can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you sit, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, I want you quickly, just lift your hand up high. Just raise it up high. I'm looking for hands right now. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer this morning. Just lift it up. Thank you. I see your hand. Praise God. Thank you. Just lift it up high. I want everyone who lifted your hand. So wonderful, Jonathan, to see your hand lifted up. Say this prayer, Jonathan. Everyone, let's pray this together. The Bible says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everybody, say this prayer with me today. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to come to this earth and die on a cross just for me. I thank you, Lord, you said in your word that if I believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead, I will be saved. Say this, say, I believe, Jesus, you are alive, and I ask you, come into my life and save me. I declare, Jesus, you are now Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to follow you, Lord. Say this, say, Lord, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own father, and I'm your very own child. Heaven is now my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everyone said, amen. Praise God.
You know, I was reminded, Anna Cartwright was one of our presenters at the Women's Networking meeting, and she was telling us, because she has a website, she has a coaching program that she does. It's health, it's called Live Strong, Live Long, and it's about teaching people how to live healthy and what have you. And she said, you know, she would be leaving something really important out if she didn't talk about the spiritual aspect. So she, even though she's coaching people on health, she said she led one of her clients to the Lord. Because, you know, she's taking every opportunity. How can I tell you? People look at you and they say, you're so blessed. You've got peace. Don't just say, well, thank you. Just tell them why. Tell them what makes the difference to you, you know? Why I'm so happy, why I've overcome, right? And so that's convicting. I wrote a few things down there that are just like, get yourself together, girl. Right? Anyone else feel like that this morning? That's good. The word convicts us. Anyway, this is the time of the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Amen? Thank you. That's the way our church is supported. And honestly, what we're doing when we give is we are promoting the kingdom of God. So So we talk about here, we talk about preaching the gospel. How is it done? It's done by the, it's funded by the people of God who give their tithes and offerings. Amen. So I always like to just read a scripture. If you're watching online, there's various ways to give. You can just go to ascendchurch.us and click on give. If you're sitting here, there's various ways to give. There's an envelope in the seat where you are. And the scripture I wanted to read this morning is Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So it says, honor God with our possessions and with the first fruits of our increase. So that's what our tithes and our offerings are, is the first fruits of our increase, right? And you know, this is a scripture from Proverbs, and Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's a book of wisdom. In fact, in the first verse of chapter 1, it says, here are kingdom revelations, words to live by, words of wisdom given to empower you to reign in life. Right? Written as Proverbs by Israel's King Solomon, David's son. So these are words of wisdom that'll help you reign in life. It'll help you be successful and get ahead. Wise words. You know, and when it's written by Solomon, who at the time was the richest man in the world. That's, he was wise and rich, right? And so, you know, there's some people you want to get financial advice from, and other people you don't want to get financial advice from. You know, like your brother-in-law who's never got any money, but he's like, I'm not going to church. All they want is your money. Don't take financial advice from him. Take financial advice from the wisest, richest man who ever lived, right? And it's from God's word. And so that's who we're taking advice from here. Solomon, the Bible says in 1 Kings that Solomon gave at one time gave 1,000 burnt offerings. Now, you know what that takes? I mean, Tommy, you work with fish. You got to cut and clean fish. That's a lot of work, right? Can you imagine doing 1,000 burnt offerings? That's a lot of work. But he did this, and he did it willingly. It was a sacrifice. He gave an extreme amount to the Lord. And the Bible says this is what God said to him. God said to him, it says, that night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and he said, what do you want? Ask me for anything, and I'll give it to you. Imagine that. God says, what do you want, Solomon? I'll give you anything you ask for. And so Solomon asks for wisdom to lead his people. He says, God, just help me. Give me understanding that I can lead these people well. And then God answered him, and he said, I'll give you what you asked for. I'll give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has ever had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you didn't ask for, riches and fame. You see, God's got no problem with riches and fame. It's the heart that he's after, right? And he said, no other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. So today, we're going to take some wise advice from Solomon, who knew what it was to give, to honor God extravagantly, and to see God bless him. And he says, honor the Lord with your income. Honor the Lord with your possessions. So let's just pray over this offering today. Father, we bring our tithes, we bring our first fruits, we bring our offerings before you to honor you. We honor you with our possessions. We thank you, Father, for your blessing. I thank you for your blessing upon the life of every person giving here today, those that are watching online. I thank you that your word is true, that their barns are filled with plenty, that their vats overflow, that their business increases, they have new contracts, new ideas. Father, thank you for your blessing upon your people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Ushers, you can go ahead and receive that. I just want to mention that, let you know that we're giving to missions every month this year. We've picked a mission. So the first month of this year, January, we did a clothing drive for Heart of God Missions in West Palm, and we gave them mounds of clothing, and we thank you for doing that. And then this month, today, the ladies that organized the networking event on Friday night, we raised money And today we're going at 1 o'clock, we're going to go and present that to Hannah's House of Jupiter, which is a home for mothers and new babies. So we're so looking forward to doing that. And just to mention, we have a children's church teachers meeting directly after the service. If to those who are not involved in children's ministry and you would like to know more about it, please just come by and we're going to have a short meeting afterwards with Pastor Steve and I. Right? Huh? I'm opening it. Yeah, to everybody. Why not?
All right. Praise God. We want to say thank you to everyone who served, all of our servant leaders, everyone who served today. We so appreciate you. Why don't you give them a big round of applause? I'm talking about our children's church teachers and our media department and our ushers and our greeters and our musicians and singers and people who come to pray. Thank you for serving in God's house today. We couldn't do it without you. Amen. Do you receive God's word today? What are you talking about today? This Thursday, we're praying at 7 p.m. We pray every other Thursday. We're praying this Thursday at 7 p.m. So, praise God. Say it. We'll tell your neighbor, I'm going after the lost. Tell like you really mean it. Tell him, I'm going after the lost. I'm going after the lost. Father, thank you today that as we go out of here today, thank you, Lord, that we will take advantage of every opportunity, that we will speak for you to everyone, everywhere. We'll invite people to church. We'll tell them about your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that spirit of boldness. And we thank you for every life that will be touched and changed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. Invite someone with you. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week.